you very much. Wow. Yeah, I appreciate this. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Wow. Thank you for being here. It's so good to see all of you and to know what we're going to get spiritually fed, physically fed, and then roll ourselves home. So all will be well. And we'll go into this message today. As I told you, this is a gentler message than what you've been having to put up with, because it's not doctrinal. The doctrines that we've been into, and have one more session after Thanksgiving, one more of the series, the third one, are the critical doctrines that every church must have. And you've got to believe that the Word of God is the only truth, real truth there is, without error, and that the people who wrote that Word were inspired of God. He possessed them. He filled them. They were out of themselves. And you know, those of you who've been here, if you haven't, I would ask you to listen to those messages, because I probably never worked harder on a doctrinal series in my whole life than preparing this, so that you really have the foundation for why we're here, what we believe, and how important it is not to ever doubt any of God's Word. If you start doubting one verse, one chapter, you'll start doubting it all. Don't listen to people who have doubts. Don't argue with them. They're sometimes best to walk away, it says, Scripture tells you, from foolish discussions. Just don't have them. So that's today, though, we're making a little change, because it's Thanksgiving. Because some of you have to go face unloving people. I pray that every table that you sit down to eat a Thanksgiving meal at will be totally loving, congenial, fun, and nobody's got an attitude. Nobody has an axe to grind. And I can tell by some of the responses that that's not going to be the case for everybody. No. I'm so sorry for it. I've been there myself. When you just prayed the meal would be over and you could find the first appropriate time to get out of that you could. Isn't that awful? You know, when you're just praying for an easy way to get out of there and away from everybody. And so let me share this passage, so familiar and yet so overlooked. You say, how's that possible? We read the words, we don't get the words. And that's what happens in a lot of Scripture. We read here in the head, we say, yeah, that's good, I agree, yeah. But it's got to get in the heart to make a change. And to make a difference, that word's going to have to change your heart, not just be in your mind. So 1 Corinthians 13, it'll read this way. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, you hear this? He said, if I have a faith that can move mountains, Jesus said, if you have a mustard seed of faith, you can say to the sycamore tree, be gone, cast into the sea, it'll be uprooted, plucked up, and it'll be done, and move a mountain with a mustard seed. And he said, even if I can do that, but I don't have love, he said, it's nothing. I'm nothing. It amounts to nothing. Does this hit you kind of hard? That you can, in the name of Jesus, you can actually see miracles through his name, and yet they don't impress God at all because you don't have love behind it? If you come into church and you're singing these songs, your lips are singing praise songs, but your heart is not in it, and he said, and if you don't feel the love and the warmth for God, and it's really coming from the heart, he said, it means nothing to him. It's only an outward show. And so we have to let this sink down into us and say, Christianity's got to sink in. It's got to be real. It's got to come from our heart faith in Christ and Christ working in us. It can't be just so many churches right now are meeting this morning across this whole country, across this world. And there's a lot of people out there singing and they're getting into this music. They don't even understand the words. It's so loud and so, to me, you know, it's like they don't even know what they're saying. They're doing, but they're jiving with it. They got it. They're in it. And they go out and say, man, I feel good. Christianity is not about feelings. It's about faith. And it's about love and it's about hope. Now, I want you to feel good. I want you to feel good about this message, but that's not why we're here to feel good. We're here to believe and be deepened in our walk with Christ. And so he says, I want you to know, he said, if you have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, he said, you can come up here and put the money in the tithe box. Listen, you know, I've heard people, listen to this. They say, you know what? I've tithed to the Lord and tithed to the Lord and tithed to the Lord. And what good does it do? Are you tithing out of love or are you tithing out because you have to? Or because everybody else does, you want somebody looking at you saying, you never go and give a tithe in that little tithe box over there, or wherever, or they take up an offering in other churches. He said, you got to do it with love. If you've ever dropped a check or your cash or whatever it is, and an offering basket is passed around, or over here we have a tithe box so that we don't put something in front of somebody's face. If you've ever done it with a little bit of reluctance, hesitation, if you've ever done it thinking, there goes my hamburger this week, there's that steak I wanted, and I want to tell you, that tithe, we I appreciate it, the church appreciates it, but if you want a blessing from it, it's not happening. Because it has to come from love. Everything in our life as Christians has to come from love. Otherwise, we're just going through the motions and we're really acting like Pharisees, just outward show. When you give your tithe, when you hug somebody in here, or wherever you go as a Christian, God wants you to do it with the love in your heart. And let them see and know as you can just reach your arm around somebody, a little sideways, we call it the church hug, and you give the church hug. But you can do it with affection, real love. Or you can do it and the person feels like I just got hugged by a robot. Because love makes all the difference. And he says, I can give all I possess to the poor, give my body to hardships and I may boast. But, he said, if I don't have love, I'm nothing. He said, man, love is patient, it's kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it's not proud, it does not dishonor others, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil. Hear this? And by the way, husbands and wives, the one before this, what does it say? It keeps no record of wrongs. Let it go. Let it go. Whatever you came in here with your husband or your wife or your kids, Jesus is saying, right here's the place, right now, give it to me. Let me take care of it. You let this go. Turn it loose, let it go. It's not worth it. If you're angry at someone, right now this morning, that someone you're angry at doesn't really give a hoot. You've come in here and you're angry at so-and-so out here and my bank and this and that and the whatever. Do you think that they're sitting there worried about you being angry at them this morning? They're out having a good time. And you're in here all distraught because of what happened with them. They could care less. So why are you letting this destroy yourself? When you forgive somebody, it doesn't let them off the hook. It lets you off the hook. You forgive and give it to God, and he said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, thus saith the Lord. And as we come into this holiday season, we need to be reminded there are going to be offenses. There are going to be offensive people. There's going to be people that is going to try my patience. It says love is patient. Do you know already somebody's going to try your patience, even sitting here this morning before Thursday comes around? Okay, well, thank you very much. Anybody over here? And he says, love is patient. So get it squared away here today. Get it right with the Lord. He said, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not demand, it is not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs, and it does not delight in evil. Love does not delight in evil. It rejoices with the truth. Now listen to this. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And I just took the first part of this verse 8 so we didn't have to read the whole thing. And just remember this. Love never fails. Read all of 1 Corinthians 13. I just, for the sake of time, just this is, all, this is about all I can put in here this morning. So I titled this message, Love is Everything, because it is. And you can know all the prophecies and all the doctrines we've been studying on Sunday morning. But if you don't have love, what's it going to do you? If you go back, and by the way, if any of you have seen The Chosen, you get some idea of the Pharisees and how they prayed in public and they were jerking and doing, you know. Has anybody seen that? I mean, that's how they prayed. They wanted everybody to see them praying. They wanted to see them, oh, Lord. And they're just really getting with it. And they put on a religious show. When they gave to someone, they called it alms, they gave money to a poor person, they had a trumpet blown. It is hard to imagine, right? But it's true. And so here you are, bless your heart, you don't have a job, you need money, and you come up, the Pharisee in their robes, they hand you some money. But before you can take that money and get away with the money to go meet your needs, eat, a trumpet's blown and everybody's looking at the Pharisee, and there you are being totally humiliated. That's why Jesus said, when you give, don't let the left hand know what the right hand is doing. And you say, well, I really do know. He said, no, keep it that private, that secret. Don't tell anyone. Don't do it in front of anyone. And he said, if you do it in secret, just like praying in secret, I will reward you openly. And so we've got to keep this in mind. And see, love causes me to be private. Love causes me to say things in private, do things in private, and not want anybody to know it. Love for God and love for His Word, because that's what God wants. And so let me just work through this message here with you, because I want to keep you a real long time. But I need to feed you this spiritual food. Love is everything. And so the first point here, without love, life has no meaning. I was trying to think, how do I approach this? Well, it's like, just begin with this, and Lord just puts things on your heart. Do you know without love, life has no meaning? You ever thought about it? If you don't have love, what meaning is there in life? You can have hobbies. You can go out and you can fish, you can hunt, you can sow, you can make things, you can do whatever. You can build stuff. But without love in your heart, what does it mean? Nothing. And you know what I'm looking at today in our society? I'm looking at the most loveless society I think we've ever seen in this country. Indifferent, rude, total nasty, inconsiderate, ill behavior. Where's the love? Even Christians. You go, I tell you what, if you were to go to some, and I won't say any anxious foods, some of these bigger, big places and you know, where they have parking and everybody's got direct parking and blah, blah, blah. You're here to watch these people, and they go in and look at their behavior when they come out. You ever been in one of those places? They're pushing and shouting. Oh, there you are. Yeah, you've seen it. And they're blowing their horn. They're angry. They're telling off the people trying to direct traffic to get them out. And it's like, wow, y'all really got a lot out of that service, didn't you? And friends, people are watching us. God's watching us. And He's saying, you know, before you blow that horn and tell people their IQ, and with your hands, you know, and all down the road there, He said, I want you to think about that I'm watching. And I designed you for a higher purpose than that. This is not to put anybody down. It's just to say, hey, wait a minute. Without love, life has no meaning. And we have such a loveless society. Unloving churches. They don't care if you're there or not. Just put your money in the... Seriously. And you think those people you're mailing money to that are on television, do you think they love you? I hope one of them does. But from the stuff I'm reading and some things that I'm saying, don't fool yourself. And people have said to me, Tony, you know, I just can't help. I got to give money to so-and-so and so-and-so. Have they ever come and hugged you? Have they ever paid you a visit? Have they ever sat down and listened to your troubles? They just make you feel good. And so why don't you be loyal to the people that pay the price and put up with all your stuff? And I don't just mean you, but everybody else. And it's like, why are you sending money to somebody so they can buy another jet aircraft? Why are you being loyal to somebody who could care less if you'd ever die? They don't know your name and they don't want to know it. But you come into your local church where there's real love, and we want to know your name and we care what happens to you. We might can do a thing about it, but we can do one thing. Maybe we can't help you at all except pray. But you get that. You follow me here? We're all messed up in our loyalties and our thinking, and we're giving to loveless people. You think that these televangelists, whatever you want to call them, you think they love you? You say, Tony, you're being pretty hard. You bet. You bet. Write a letter to one and ask them to come see you. You say, well, they're busy. Give them an excuse, right? Excuse them. They're busy. They got millions. Yeah, and they don't visit one unless you got a pocket full of money for them. You just read, you investigate, you look at the stuff that's happening. And so, friends, without love, life is nothing. You think these people are going to be rewarded by the Lord? Don't think again. I'll tell you who God rewards. It's the person who loves so much, they'll give their last dime to somebody else in the church because that person needs it more. Because they'll come in pain, physical pain, emotional pain, and they'll reach over and listen to someone else's pain and hug them and pray for them when they're almost dying themselves. You see, that's love. That's the love God's looking for. The love that says my pain, that understands my pain that God allows in my life, is allowed in my life so that I can understand your pain and reach out to you and get outside myself and care more about you than I do about me. Why do you think you've been hurt in your life? Why do you think you've emotionally been, you know, trampled on, kicked about, physically hurting? Because someone else needs you to understand where they are. And we can say, well, I can understand now. You can listen. But to have empathy for someone, you don't have to have the exact same issue, but you've had issues. And that person that's hurting in whatever form, spiritual, mental, emotional, physical, they need someone that can sit down with them and say, I know what that feels like. You do? Yeah. Yeah. I know what that feels like. I know what it feels like to be lonely because I've been lonely. I know what it feels to be abandoned because I've been abandoned. I know what that's like. I know what it's like to go to bed at night and say, God, is there anybody out there that cares about me? And they even need us to be able to say to them when we've gone through our worst moments in life, through the valley of the shadow of death, to be able to say to them, and I know what it feels like to feel like that God's not listening. And so we go through stuff so that we can help others go through stuff. But listen to this. Others have gone through stuff so they can help you go through your stuff. And that's love. And love is when I take another person and I care more about what they're going through than I care about myself. Greater love has no one in this than to lay down their life for their friends. So no matter what you do as a Christian, no matter how much you pray or serve or help or do, without love it amounts to nothing. And yet, with love, everything you do becomes golden to God and a blessing to others. Secondly, love is the basis of all Christian character. Did you know that? Did you read it here? Love is the basis for all Christian character. Because you know what it says? It says love suffers long, or in this love is patient. And I mixed the New King James with the New International Version, and I'm back and forth bringing, you know, translating this, and I didn't know. Some of them, you know, one was good and one and the other. So it says, you know, love's patient. If you have a New King James Version, it'll say it's long-suffering. What does that mean? It's patient. It can wait a while. No, it means it puts up and endures crud, junk, spitefulness, rudeness from others for a long time, maybe a lifetime. It means it's patient because what? God is patient. And He puts up with our rudeness, our abandonment of Him, our using His name in vain, and on and on. And He puts up with it, and He's long suffering. He says, I want you to do this. I want you to stop being mad and yelling at each other. I want you to be able to walk away. I want you to be able to take your wife's hand, your husband's hand, and I want you to hold it in yours, and I want you to caress it. And I want you to look him in the eye and say to him, you can never make me stop loving you. You want to break a hard heart? Have that kind of love. You can't make me stop loving you. Because that's what God says to you and me. You can't make me stop loving you. I'm sure glad we can't, aren't you? So love is patient. It suffers long. It puts up with crud, so that over time someone has the opportunity, many opportunities, to change and accept Christ and become Christ-like. And then it says, you know, love is kind. It just speaks nice to people. It treats people with respect. And get this, when they don't deserve it, it just keeps doing what it does. Sacrificing, giving, healing, sharing. And it says, and here, it does not envy. What do you mean? We know what envy is. It means that I'm not happy someone else got something better than me. Let me share this with you. We all have a trouble from time to time with envy and jealousy. And the only way to overcome that is say, God, I want you to bless so-and-so and so-and-so, and whoever it is that he brings to mind, I want you to bless them more than even I want you to bless me. I want to see them be prosperous. But see, if you want something for yourself, pray it for others. What does the scripture tell you? Give, and it will be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over without measure. Right? So I've got to give. Have you prayed for others to have what you yourself are wanting? You say, I need a new car. Well, maybe you do. Have you prayed for those others around you that need a new car, for God to bless them with that? That's what Christianity, that's what love does. It says, because I have a need, that need is not put there just for me. It's for me to look out here and become aware, oh my gosh, if I have this need, how many others have this need? So I'm going to pray for them that their needs be met and my needs will come easier. Do you see it? Seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness. And that's seeking His kingdom. That's doing what He tells you to do. And all these things that you need to be given to you. Think about it. Your need, your hurt, your pain is designed to help you look out from yourself and see who else is in that kind of need, suffering, pain, and pray for them. That's love. It keeps your heart from being hardened when you're caring for other people. You get a really hard heart quick when you start focusing on yourself. Love doesn't envy. It's not upset when they get blessed. You ever had someone in the church and they come in and say, you won't believe what happened to me. And you're already going, yeah. We have, haven't we? And they say, you won't believe it. I received this check. I was an inheritance. I was given this money. And you're sitting there with hardly a dime in your pocket. You don't know how you're going to pay the next house payment or the rent or whatever it is. And you're going, and you outwardly, that's great. And inside you're going, drop dead. He said, those are warning signs that you need love in your heart. You need to let me really give your heart to Christ. And we've done this kind of thing. And you got to admit it, you know, and someone in your family, they get a great job, the kind of job you wanted. They come in and they're bragging about a promotion. And you're thinking, I hope that piece of turkey you're chewing on is poison. Maybe it has salmonella. That's human nature. But God's nature is to look over, pat them on the arm, hug them, and say, it couldn't happen to a better person, really. I'm so glad for you. And mean it. And mean it. Not be a hypocrite and lie about it. But mean it. I'm glad it happened to you. And God is saying, you keep that way, it's going to happen to you. When you don't envy anymore. And I don't want to keep you a long time. Let me move on through this. Love does not, let me read here. It does not even, it does not boast. And some of your translations, it does not parade itself. It doesn't go on parade. Love doesn't boast. You see, what does that mean? Let me add this. And it's not proud or puffed up in some translations. So what does that mean? It doesn't parade or not boastful, and it's not puffed up. You know what love does? Listen to this. I'm trying to really just bring a simple, from the heart of God, from the Word of God message. Love doesn't show off. Love doesn't have to have the better story. It's real easy when someone is telling their story and they're all excited. And this happened and that happened. And oh, and I caught a fish and it was this big. And guys, we're real bad about this because we're going to stop that real quick. Yeah, I know. Well, on my worst day, I catch them that big. And we do that, right? And you already hear about my fishing trip and this and that. What God is saying that love does is just the opposite. It doesn't puff itself up. It doesn't go on parade. And what does it do? It lets the person who caught that little fish, that's the biggest fish they've caught. And we throw ourselves into rejoicing with them because that's their biggest fish. We don't have to tell about our big trophy fish on the wall. For them, man, they're excited. In other words, love lets another person have the spotlight. It lets them have their day. It just lets another person feel good without being topped off, run over. And it's a guy thing. And you know, I get out with certain guys, I don't want to tell any stories because they're going to top my story. I know most of it's lies, but they're going to top them anyway. But the point is, why do we have to do that? You know what it says about us? Love has not conquered our pride and it's not conquered our ego. You see, in all these things, when that happens and you feel that envy, you feel that, well, I got a better story than that. Sometimes just let a person have their day and lead them to be able to say, thank you, God, for my trophy fish. And you've got one. Does it matter? Does it matter? It doesn't parade itself. It doesn't puff up. It doesn't show off. Love is not to be just an emotional journey. It's a heart journey. It's a heart experience. Love makes and keeps you humble. Love lets the other person just enjoy the moment. Love is always seeking to give the glory to God. And you honor God by letting a person have their moment too. Love is not rude. Man, you know, it's not self-seeking, and it's not proud. It not does not dishonor others. That's rude. How many in here have beat the rude problem? Oh, I heard a snort over here on this side. Has anybody gone this last week without being rude to someone? Oh, okay. Isn't it easy to be rude? You know where I like to be rude? In my pickup on the way down here so they can't hear me. I can tell them just what I think of them coming down here. And I tell myself, oh, they can't hear it, so I wasn't really being rude. And God's saying, yes, you were. I heard it. And do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If you do it to the least of these, you do it to me also. And it's like, uh-oh. Uh-oh. And they said, why do you have to do that at all? And I want you to know I was only rude twice this morning on the way down here. That's much better. Yeah, thank you. That's much better than my dozen or so rudes. I don't like it when these guys on a wet road, and it was drizzling real hard, slowed me up some around Kerrville. And this guy just comes flying up behind me, right up behind me, and I could see that spray coming off. And I'm thinking, I just love that guy as a brother in Christ. That's what do you believe that? Anybody believe that? No, thank you. I'm glad you don't. You know a lie when you hear one, right? I was pretty rude. But I was also praying to God, please don't let something run out in front of me. The deer run out there all the time, because there's no way he can keep from hitting me. He's right on my bumper. And then he cuts in, and I see him weaving in and out of traffic up there. And I know that all of you are so full of love, you never pray for them to wreck, do you? But love doesn't do that. We have a long way to go, friends. Not in the message, in our lives. Don't stop growing. Always love. Look around here today, and if there's someone that for some reason, maybe their hair color, or they're no hair at all, or whatever it is about them that you just don't go up and really hug them, you just break that barrier today and do what you know love would have you do. Husbands and wives, isn't it about time that you quit the little peck on the cheek? And why don't you just lay one on her? She might not even revive. It's been so long. And there's a little marital counseling here, but really, don't stop being affectionate and loving with each other. Your husband and wife. Let the kids, even the grown kids, see that you still have some affection, that you can really express love to each other. I see so many couples, and it's like, how did they have children? And it's like there's some barrier over here. I mean, I can't believe that. Why don't you get loving and hold each other's hands once in a while and just grab an arm? And I mean, goodness sakes. So that's why you're still benching it, isn't it? Yeah, I see this stuff all the time. I have to sit down with people. And I often ask them, how long has it been since you two were very close? You know what I often hear? Years. Really? Jeez. Anyway, you get the idea. Let's break through this. Come on. Open your heart. What stopped that in the first place? I don't know. And usually it comes down. We got to arguing and we debate. Why don't you stop it? Why don't you ask God to give you the love that just don't do it anymore? Stop. You know how to stop an argument? Don't. And you have to in love to give your pride and ego to the Lord. And then you just don't argue. You don't. I want to tell you something, guys. This is free marital advice, okay? When they're on it, everybody knows, ladies, don't be offended. You just have those emotional sways with hormones and all that stuff. Oh, hon, I wouldn't blame it on a woman. It's the absolute God's truth, but I'll tell you how to fix it. when she's like that, instead of getting mad, why don't you grab her and hug her? Now, you'll be bleeding from the neck like a vampire, but still a little bit. No, I'm kidding. What they're saying to you is, I don't have it quite together. Be my anchor. Give me that powerful Christ in you, the hope of glory to hold on to. You can do it. Love conquers all. It never fails. Everybody hear me here? And I'm having some fun here. We're playing around, I know. But the truth is that what we need, and a lot of times, guys, when we're having our spells, you know what? Let us have our little spell. But it's amazing how a woman with the right touch can just settle the most honorary guy down. There's guys I thought we're going to have to fight this guy. And some gal can just start patting him on the arm. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, look at that little worm. And she just leads him away. Ladies, why do you think God gave you that gift? We as guys, we want to settle it. But y'all know how to do it. We having fun? Is this okay? Is this good? Sure it is. So let me close. I'm not here to offend anybody. I just tell the truth, yes. Because it's true. I counsel it all the time. I see it constantly. I'm called constantly. I am. This holiday type season, I always dread Thanksgiving to Christmas. Because I have to turn people down. There are so many, I cannot see them all. Lonely, hurt, and fighting. And when I say these things, I really mean it. You don't have to do those things. And remember, you're never alone because God loves you. So love is not rude. It's not easily provoked. I don't have to explain that. When you really love, you just don't get mad as easy. And love doesn't think bad about people. Thinks no evil. It keeps no record of wrongs. It does delight in evil. It rejoices in the truth. Don't worry, I'm about through. And I think they're about ready for us. They had to go pick up a few more things. Now we're all ready. Let me close with this. Love does not delight in evil, rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. And it always hopes and always perseveres. Love conquers all things. It'll conquer your anger. It'll conquer your lust. It'll conquer your envy. And it'll conquer your past. If you let Jesus Christ and ask Him in your heart, and you accept Him as your Savior and Lord, and you give to Him what's hurt you in your life, God's love in you, God's agape, God's special anointed love, not emotional, spirit-filled love, will overcome and deliver you from whatever's been in your life that's hurt you so bad. I was reading a story last night. I'll only share this bit of it. But this doctor wanted very much to marry this woman, and they were really suited for each other. She just was so comfortable with him. And he said, you know, I mean, really, they had the same interest, this and that and that. And so he said, you know, there's just one thing I want to ask of you. I want you to marry me. And she said, I really like you and like your company. Went through this whole spiel. And I thought, yeah, I know what's coming. I don't even have to read this. Because I hear it constantly. You know what she told him? But, listen to me. But I got hurt in a previous relationship. And I just can't love anybody. And I'm sitting there by myself reading this, and I set it down and I said, bull! That's the lousy excuse on the face of the earth. To say I got hurt and now I have God's gift in front of me, but I'm going to reject it because I chose the devil, and now God's given me the angel, but I'm stuck on that devil. And it's time to rebuke that devil from your life and start living now in Christ Jesus and walking in His Spirit. You can love again. You can care again. And don't use the past. Don't let the past be a barrier. Let it be a learning experience. And say, now I know what I don't want, but before me now I sure see what I do want. And constantly I'm working with people who are saying, I just can't overcome. I can't yet. No, listen. You know what the truth is? No, you can't, but Jesus Christ can. Now give Him control and let Him not be just the Savior of your life, but the Lord of your life and rule your heart. And you can love again. Now, I took that little story. I was so mad about the whole thing. And I thought, you know, Lord, let me read that because I needed that as emphasis for this message. But I've seen the same thing happen with people when I invite them to church. And here's their excuse, the same thing. I got hurt in a church. I don't ever go back. Really? Huh. I think the church has hurt Jesus a lot. But He comes back. And if He's in you, then He can lead you back. And if He really is your Savior and your Lord, then if He's been hurt and comes back, hasn't Jesus been hurt in church? He'll be hurt in church today in a lot of places. But He comes back. And if He's in you, He can bring you back. Don't you let your past dictate and keep you from God's blessings today. Now, I don't have much else to say except this closing statement. Confess your ill feelings, your unforgiveness. Give it to God. Confess your past to God. He knows your pain. And if it matters to you, it matters to God. Give it to the Lord. Repent. Let go of anything you've done, they've done, everybody did. If you're saying, I just can't do that, you're right. But Christ in you can. And God will overcome. We are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. What does it say in Philippians 4:13? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And 4:19 says, my God will supply all of my needs according to God's riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And He'll supply yours. Christ in you is bigger than all your hurts, your troubles, your disappointments, all your frustrations, and all of your past. Christ in you is bigger than all. And in Romans 8 it says, you are more than a conqueror through Christ who loves you. Love never fails. Our Father in heaven, we love you. It's never good enough to say it. Our puny love that we but that's what it's all we have. To say we love you. And we thank you for loving us so much that you die for us, and we don't even get that. We believe it, but we just can't get it in our hearts to be like that. But we're here because you love us. We're here because you didn't just throw us into hell and burn us up. Torment us for eternity. We're here because you endure and you persevere. And God, every one of these characteristics, we're here because that's you. You're never rude to us. You're never envious when we succeed and you're saying, go girl, go. Go boy, go. And if God is for us, who can be against us? God is all these characteristics right here. God did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all. And how will He not also with Christ Jesus, right? Give us all things. I mean, really, really. It's all here, Lord. Help us take it. Bless this food we're about to receive, the nourishment of our bodies. We're grateful for it. Bless everyone who prepared it, went and got things, did what they got to do to make this day great. But this day is the greatest because you, Lord, are the greatest. You are the God of gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, and King of kings. Blessed be the name of the Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all for being here.